Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
Well, how much cash corn has moved and what will it mean to the marketplace? We'll try to find out today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later this half hour, we'll talk with Mitch Dawson. He's the central merchandiser at Golden Eagle Co-op out of Iowa. Our panelists today are Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services, and Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities. Let's open discussion with this question, gentlemen. Did farmers move a lot of cash grain, corn, or soybeans on the rally this past week? And we'll start with you, Paul Cooley.
You know, Todd, I think that there was the general feeling in spot areas. You know, I understand Terre Haute, Shelburne, Indiana area, there was some pretty good movements of corn. Our general impression is that the farmer is a pretty strong holder. He's still holding inventory. Our spot checks indicate that. And one reason is that they don't want to be left with a runaway commodity market, A, and B, they don't want to be left with a high input cost rallying on them. So I think that they're pretty tight holders of grain. And one reason why I back that up, you know, I travel a lot of miles every day, and the truck traffic just isn't there to indicate much of a movement.
Echoing pretty much what you told us on Wednesday. What's your feeling, Pete?
Well, in our area, talking to elevators, they, in the last couple of weeks, have bought quite a bit of grain, and they're kind of calling it a second harvest.
And Matt, you're there at a grain elevator. What are you seeing?
We bought a lot of corn, around $2, a lot of corn. And this week, we bought a fair amount, but not near as much as what we did here, you know, a week ago. But, you know, like I was saying to most of our guys, hey, you know, if you got 45-cent LDP, it's pretty tough to pass up $2 corn. We've got a few guys that haven't sold any. We've got a few guys that, you know, that are just starting to sell some corn. So they've been pretty tight-fisted corn-wise.
Generally speaking, we hold off on getting to our guests, but I do want to bring Mitch Dawson in on just this one question real quick, and then we'll bring him back at the end of the program or the second half of the program. But Mitch, hailing, of course, from an elevator there in Iowa. Where are you located, by the way, Mitch? And
what's we are Cashman? About 80 miles north of Des Moines.
And then you have a string of elevators in the north-central portion of the state?
Right, 9 locations.
And cash grain movement there has been what? Like what, for corn and soybeans?
Not as heavy as the very end of December, obviously, with the tax selling. It was a decent start the first part of the week that died out to nothing at the end.
And would this be fairly normal movement for you or less than you might have expected?
I would say a little bit above normal, but again, we'll get into that. But the movement overall has started to pick up.
We'll talk with you again just after we get through the weather segment. Thanks, Mitch. We'll get to Mitch in just a bit. Let's continue on with the marketplace. Corn futures this week had a high of $2.21, a low at $2.13. The settlement price for the March contract at $2.14 and a quarter, off a penny and a half from last week, December's $2.48 and a quarter. They were unchanged. By the way, if you hadn't taken a look at the lead option charts from last year, the high in the corn pit on the lead option chart at $2.60, the low at $1.86. So my question now is, have we set in a trough, relatively speaking, that we can expect the trading range to move from the $1.86 low level to what our current highs were from this week? Paul Cooley.
Well, Todd, a great deal things happen this coming week. Of course, we'll know on the 12th of January what the production numbers are, the final production and the actual carryover numbers. That's A and B. We'll see if it does rain this coming week in the big growing areas of Argentina, and also further confirmation in Brazil. And the other thing is that we are continuing to see some of the outside markets act extremely well. gold, silver, and the crude oil products.
How do you summarize the week's trade and the big move up and then the setback? And I know most of that happened in the bean pit, but let me know what.
Well, corn in the last whatever is up 20 cents, wheat's up 40, and beans are up 80. But I think we've got a lot of volatility in the grains due to a lot of it outside forces and then also the weather. If you looked at the metals at all lately, gold was up $70 and then back 45 and now back near the highs. Silver down 30 cents one day, up 30 cents another. And I think these outside markets have had an influence on the funds in buying of grains.
Matt, you suggested that cash sales probably should have been made, especially if you had collected a pretty good sized LDP in that 44, 45 cent range. What if you didn't do that? What are you doing with your corn at that point?
Well, if you hadn't
LDP'd or you didn't get that much.
Well, if you didn't get that much, it'd be awfully tough to look at your neighbor that got the 45 cents, I guess. And, you know, you're looking at an LDP right now. It's grown a little bit, I guess, in the last couple of days. But, I'd go ahead and LDP whatever you've got remaining make cash sales anywhere around $2 or above, because I think it's going to be tough to rally it a whole lot more in the next, you know, maybe 6-8 weeks.
How much do you think is left to LDP out there? Anybody?
I think the corn's very high. The beans have only had about a 20% LDP rate. So, in other words, there hasn't been much.
Well, there hasn't been an LDP for all intents and purposes right. for the beans that they
yeah,
can
the corn's
collect.
Very high. I think there's only about 10% that's not either LDP'd or under loan.
So what are you thinking now as you look to next year's crop and what producers ought to be doing for the 2006 season?
Well, we hit 51 this week on the new crop, and depending on where you're at, you could cash sell or do whatever with your elevator somewhere in the 220 to 230 area. We had guys start with cash sales on that this week, and if we have dry weather and less acres push that higher, we'll continue to sell some every 6-8 cents higher.
As far as bean sales go for fall, we've been telling guys, hey, it's pretty tough not to make sales. We got beans over 620 this week, so right now we're still above $6 for our fall beans, and I wouldn't have any problem with a guy making sales like that corn wise. I wouldn't be near as eager maybe to make fall corn sales right now as what I am fall bean sales.
Definitely. There's a lot of interest between the $2.50 to $2.60 level on December corn. As far as the soybeans, first plateau, 640 to 650. There's some more interest above that level. What we're also basically saying, guys, you have to make a choice between being which commodity is the most bearish. There's no doubt from a fundamental point of view that the beans are extremely bearish from a short-term and long-term perspective.
But what do you expect out of Thursday's USDA reports? And I suppose there are a series of them that are due out. The final crop production report for the year is due, the quarterly grain stocks report. I think the winter wheat seedings report may be due on that day as well.
Todd, the Sparks Group is talking about 11.8 billion bushel corn crop and the soybean at 3.1. They're calling the beans up 58 million bushels and the corn number up 48. Personally, I think the USDA did a pretty good job on the last report when it's all said and done. Would it surprise me to see the soybeans go up? You know, on some of the seed reports, the state of Illinois had a tremendous crop from Cairo to Chicago, from Jacksonville to Danville. So it was really a bin-buster crop, as far as I'm concerned, in soybeans. So maybe there is room for beans to get bigger.
In fact, could they get bigger, and could we have maybe a 500 million bushel?
Yeah, that's a possibility. They're looking at, 30 to 50 million more increase in production, and also a 25 to 50 million bushel decrease in the export sales, and those have really been poor compared to last year. There's some people saying we might even go under 900 million on export sales. I don't know if we can go that low, but I think that that's a good possibility that we'll see U.S. up in both production and carry out in both corn and beans, and we'll also see world raised again. And you got to realize that the world right now is at all-time record high in carryout on soybeans.
If you had to predict, what would you say a half billion bushel carryout for the beans might push the marketplace? You know, I changed that on you just to see what you should have seen his face when I went from 500 million to half a billion in carryout. It sounds a lot bigger, doesn't it? And I won't say that again on the radio. So, but what if we have a 500 million bushel carryout and you think the price of beans is already overpriced, then where do they go, Matt?
Well, I think that coupled with, you know, right now prospects in Brazil look fairly good. I know Argentina, there's some dryness concerns, but we're talking for the weather to maybe change this next week. I think with those factors all considered, it'd be tough to keep beans, you know, above the 550 area. You know, that'd be a real struggle. I think you could be looking at $5 beans easily again.
He tapped the Brazilian side of this issue on the beans, and the Brazilian Census Bureau raised their estimate this week for the bean crop in Brazil from 58.4 million metric tons to 59.2 million metric tons. There was some concern, as he suggested, about the Argentinian corn crop and the Argentinian bean crop as well being not as good in rainfall, but rainfall was reported, I think, in the last couple of days there. And if you talk to the meteorologist enough, they say, well, it's the drier part of the season anyway. So we're not abnormally dry in Argentina and Brazil. Another good crop coming on in South America.
Yes, and the general feeling is that, Todd, they did have the inputs, they did plant the crop, and it seems like that we are hearing the word pretty good crop down in Brazil, and if we get the rain in Argentina. But I want to say one thing here in defense of being too bearish in the soybean complex is that we do have a new commodity called soy diesel, veggie diesel, in the world, and I think that the think tank people have to be very careful, not so much now, but a year from now, we're going to see some tremendous volumes of vegetable diesel fuel, and it's very close to the same BTUs and octane and things of that nature. So I think, you know, we have to say, yes, the trend could be violent down, but you know, it'll be the soybean oil does have some value at some point in time.
Soy complex beans finished like this. January, 622 on the high side for the week. The low at 599.5. Soybeans settled at $6.5. They were off a penny and a half from last week. November beans at 633.5 were down just 2 cents from Friday's close of last week. Kind of a calm-looking week other than the fact that it was really riotous at the Chicago Board of Trade.
Well, the big thing was we made new highs for the run, and then we closed lower than a week ago, and this is the first lowest close we've had in about, 6 weeks? So some of the technical people might be a little scared by this, with especially the USDA report coming out next Thursday.
Maybe. Well, go ahead.
Well, don't forget, too, the President of the United States was on the trading floor today, waved at everybody, and everybody took a good picture of him, and he was in good spirits, and the market was rather dull at that particular time, but it did pick up some speed later in the trading day. Sell orders did multiply.
We'll give you the high and the low for last year on the lead option contract in the bean pit as well. $7.37, the high last year. The low, not so distant in the past, at $4.98.5. So let's poll the crew. Bearish, bullish, neutral, and we'll do both corn and beans. Paul Cooley.
Well, corn, I think you have to be somewhat negative. A conservative seller of new crop corn. And as far as the beans, I basically have zero inventory of old crop soybeans, and I would have some percentage of new crop beans sold.
I'd have beans sold both old and new and sell more corn. I feel better or more comfortable about corn down the road if you want to save something, but I'd be protecting whatever I'm saving, especially on the bean side.
All my old corn and old beans are gone. I would probably sell more new beans than what I'd sell new corn. I think corn could have, you know, a decent future given our usage and given the fact that we may have significantly less acres this spring.
Thursday's report will hold the wheat seedings report. What do you expect out of the acreage? Anybody?
You know, we conservatively, everybody has that 1.5 million acres more wheat acreage in. The $1 million question is how much will be for harvest next year. I would even be a bit surprised if the soft wheat acres aren't a little higher. You know, some of our, you know, Bondurant down in Memphis has indicated that. Some of our friends in the southern Illinois and Indiana area said that it was very aggressive in that area. And the other thing is just what if there is a big problem with water supply this summer? You know, we could see an acreage cut back out in the winter wheat of a called abandonment.
March wheat had a high this week of $3.46¾, the low at $3.30¼, settlement price at $3.30¾. They were off 8.5 cents from last week's settlement price, and the July at $3.50 down 7¼. By the way, it put a double top, maybe, into the Kansas City and the Minneapolis Grain Exchange for the week. And it doesn't look particularly good technically on the wheat side of this marketplace.
No, again, we boomed up to those highs and backed right back down late in the week. And technical-wise, there will be some technical people push that stuff lower next week.
Oat futures finished the week at 191¼. They were off 3¾ from the Mercantile Exchange. Live cattle February contract, 97.05, the low at 95.50. And the Feb, which is your new lead option, settled at 96.05. So this is from last week's Friday settlement price, up $3.60. And the June feeder cattle at 114.50. They were off 75. Lean hogs February contract at 65.32½ on the high, the low at 63.80. And the February lean hogs settled at $64.47½. They were off 80 from last week. Bellies finished at $87.60, up 5.45. Any good reason to continue to get into the cattle market if you haven't been there yet? And I mean raising cattle, not just playing the cattle market.
Well, you know, thank goodness they deserve a real pat on the back. They've been through a lot. They are earning a little money in there. Our general opinion is that we are hearing about some high-priced feeder cattle. All in all, that is an important export market, the Pacific Rim, and let's give them a big pat on the back. They deserve all the hard work that they've done in the last several years to get it back.
When we return, we'll talk with Mitch Dawson.
I'm Jim Angel, state climatologist, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Statewide, despite a warm ending, this December ended up being the 24th coldest December since 1895, with an average of 26.7 degrees, which is 3.1 degrees below normal. This is also the 17th driest December since 1895, with only 1.23 inches of precipitation, which is 1.5 inches below normal. Most of this precipitation fell as snow. Snowfall amounts range from about 2 inches in southern Illinois to over 14 inches across northern Illinois. Soil moisture looks good in the top 2 to 3 feet across the state. However, soil moisture amounts are much below normal in the deeper layers. It will take both time and plentiful rainfall for these deeper layers to recover from last summer. The forecast from the National Weather Service shows a continuation of this pattern of warmer than average temperatures extending to 14 days and beyond. In fact, the outlook for January and the next 3 months as a whole is for an increased chance of above normal temperatures. Historically, this is not surprising since cold Decembers are typically followed by milder Januaries and Februaries. Precipitation is expected to be near normal for the next 14 days. Don't expect too much relief from drought concerns in January and February. They are our two driest months of the year, averaging about 2 inches per month, compared to about 4 inches per month during the growing season. For the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign, I'm Jim Angel.
Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at WILL.UIUC.edu. Click on AM and then on Agriculture.
I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists today are Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois, and Matt Bennett out of Bennett Grain in Windsor, Illinois. Mitch Dawson, Central Merchandiser at Golden Eagle Co-op in Iowa, joins us to take a look at what's been happening in that great state. Mitch, thanks for being with us, and thanks for joining us just a bit early in the program. We appreciate that greatly.
No problem.
Tell me, have you been telling your producers to make many sales for next year's crop, corn and soybeans at this point?
Yes, we have. When corn hits over $2 in this part of Iowa for new crop this far forward, we always suggest that they start into their program. They've actively hit it over the last week, week and a half, and are continuing to do that, and we'll be scale up sellers, about every 5 cents.
Mitch, it's always fun to talk to you. You know, in the last several years, we heard this concept of dirt to the dinner table as far as agricultural business is concerned. Now we're hearing the word turning a food industry into an energy company. You have a little experience with that. Share us what's going on out in Goldfield, Iowa.
Well, obviously, in Iowa, it's ethanol and ethanol. We have 21 plants, six under construction in the state of Iowa, 21 plants running, six under construction. The most recent plant that has just come up is right across the window from me, which is right here at our elevator. It's Central Iowa Renewable Energy. And, yes, that's the part that is changing the landscape in Iowa and also the usage of corn in the state of Iowa, and it's ethanol plants.
I have a question on the ethanol plants as related to something that the secretary mentioned. Actually, Keith Collins, the USDA chief economist, mentioned this week, was that they were having quite an impact on the posted county price. But I wasn't quite sure whether that was a good impact or a bad impact. Can you tell me what the complaints might be?
Well, the complaint is coming from the farmer side because the bid price structure is higher than the normal elevator. So now instead of the wide and good LDP, it shrinks in the LDP.
So, but has USDA been using the ethanol plants as their, I guess, their track bids?
They haven't in the past, but they're changing that structure, having to pick up a little bit more where the corn is flowing to. And that you're going to see a change of that over this next fall if we get into an LDP structure, where those bids are calculated from.
And if I get this right, and maybe I'm wrong here, but I'm not sure. You said the farmers were complaining, but it seems to me that maybe it's USDA and the government that's complaining
government.
That they're spending too much money.
You got it.
And they're going to change where those bids are coming from, and if they use the ethanol plants, and then the LDP will be smaller in areas or regions surrounding those plants.
You have it correct.
All righty.
What percentage of Iowa ballpark is now going into ethanol plants, what kind of price are you getting because of ethanol? Are you getting a dime, 15, 20, ballpark?
That's a tough question on the first part that I'll kind of pass over. The second part, people will come out on these equity drives and mention that 5 to 10 cent push that happens. What happens is the market is I hate to use this saying, the market's the market. And what happens, you have peaks and valleys as some of these ethanol plants have to bring grain in front of the plant. Obviously, when it's the fall, everything's weak. You don't need to do that. We're just seeing as you get into spring and summer, those elevated basis levels start to come in. Is it raising the state of Iowa a dime? Yeah, probably. Over time, will it be more? Time's going to tell. I think a lot of it depends, obviously, on the growth of ethanol east of the Mississippi River and what will happen at that point. Yeah, there was a lot of corn that used to come out of Iowa going into Illinois to go into the processing markets in Illinois, and that's slowly getting turned off.
When we talk about corn and we talk about ethanol, and you look at the input prices, there's been some talk about acreage shifts in Illinois. What are you seeing with your customers? And, if you talk about maybe they're getting an extra dime, what do you think the impact of the higher input prices are going to be on the corn acreage?
Real good question, and I've asked my agronomy guys the same question. What we're actually seeing is an increase in seed sales for corn this year. And a lot of people want to talk about a 1% to 2% decrease in corn acres in Iowa. I guess I'm going to go converse on that and say, no, I don't think you're going to see that. I think we'll be at least flat. And the reason that we'll be at least flat is we continue to see more ethanol plants, and a farmer likes to look at that possibility where he's going to market to close to him, and he sees the ethanol plants as something that he can benefit from and profit from. We continue to see the growth in corn on corn acres out here. And even with the high input cost, we've had such good yields with these new varieties, 3 years in a row of good crops, that these guys look at their corn returns at the end of the year, they look at their bean returns at the end of the year, and they wait towards the corn. That's where their highest return is.
Mitch, farmers aren't very happy with their suppliers. They feel like they're paying too much. They're not getting the service. They're not getting the let's buy the extra volume to protect their local producers and, you know, with low-price fertilizer. They raise the price of grain storage on them. You know, they're always, you know, there's not the implement dealer down the road that gave the deal that they did 20 years ago. What's the new farmer going to have to do to survive this kind of environment?
The new farmer is a different breed. We don't deal with the 300 and 400 acre farmer anymore. We deal with a much larger animal, and that animal has a little bit different needs. A lot of them don't own a good portion of the ground that they farm, and if they do own some of it, what they have is high efficient equipment with very little capacity to store on hand, and they expect the elevator to help them out of that situation. Going forward, I see storage in the U.S., specifically in Iowa, and some in Illinois as well, as probably the major situation that everybody has to try to attack over the next few years. Whether it's the farmer building it or the elevator building it, we got to get more storage.
I have a final question I'd like to poll everybody, and we'll start with you, Mitch. Because we've talked so much about ethanol plants, and it's just as easy to invest in an ethanol plant today if you're a farmer as it is actually to buy ground in Brazil. So you've got 20 grand. My question is, if you're a farmer, do you invest in an ethanol plant, whether it be local or somewhere else, or do you put money into Brazil? Mitch?
I will say you put money into an ethanol plant hands over fist, and the reason being, what's the better hedge from a lower priced commodity? A lower priced commodity for an ethanol plant, cheap corn, that's good for an ethanol plant.
Matt?
I would probably agree with the ethanol plant. I'd like to know what our energy policy is going to be in the next few years. I'd like to see us keep, you know, raising our RFS standard. You know, if we could go through the amount of ethanol that they burn in Brazil, we'd be in great shape.
Pete?
Ethanol all the way.
One half in ethanol and one half in ConocoPhillips.
In ConocoPhillips. Well, that wasn't an option, but I suppose that'll work too. All right. Well, thanks much. Hey, Mitch, we appreciate you being with us today. Any final word before we let you go?
Just get ready for ethanol plants in Illinois.
Thanks much. Mitch Dawson is with Golden Eagle Co-op. He's in Iowa joining us here on Commodity Week. A final word now from our panelists. We'll start with you, Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain out of Windsor, Illinois.
Well, I'd like to see Illinois play well and beat Iowa tomorrow.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois.
I think at that one and be ready for volatile markets, ready to sell on anything that goes up there to get near your goals.
And Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois.
You know, I think that the people are making a mistake this year of being too strong a holder of corn and beans.
Thanks much, gentlemen. We appreciate you being with us. And that wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, next Thursday, USDA will release the quarterly grain stocks and final crops production figures. And don't forget, most of our ag programming will likely be interrupted during the week as WILL brings you full coverage of the hearings on the latest nominee to the Supreme Court. It's a great reason, by the way, to learn how to access this program and all our daily ag programming on the web. Just visit WILL.UIUC.edu. Click on AM and then Agriculture. While we may not be on the air, we will be delivering ag programming each and every day on the website. You have a good week. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.